We didn't. Well, next time we do it, you got to do the things that go with it. So when you do coconut, you go. And then when you do watermelon, you go. Right? And then when you do lemon, you go sour. Everybody goes sour together. And then when you, we've done these at kids camp forever. When you do cherry, I think you just go, cherry. And then when you do grape, you go, jelly.
No, you're going
you go, jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah, jelly. One prayer request.
Becky Woods.
Becky Woods, yeah. Okay, Becky Woods broke ankle today. Becky Woods. Wow. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Have you had a good week? Amen. All right, outstanding. Bring your Bibles. Got your B-I-B-L-E's with you? Let's crank those things open to Genesis chapter 27, first book of the law, first book of Moses, 27th chapter. We're going to begin reading here this evening in verse 18, and we'll take it all the way through verse 29. Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse 18 through 29. Let's all stand in honor of this lengthy passage here of the Word of God. We don't mind, though. We like God's Word. We don't mind standing for it. It's out of due respect for the inerrancy and the truthfulness and the gift of God's Word to us. God's Word reads here in Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, as we continue on in this chapter 27. Lord, we pray that you just reveal truth to us. My intentions are to deliver this message you've laid on my heart, but Lord, as it hits the hearts of those in attendance here tonight, you may take this passage and apply it in a totally different way. And Father, we just pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive what you would have us receive tonight. We pray if there's anyone here among us, Lord, that needs to receive you as their personal Savior, Lord. They may have some head knowledge. They may have gone through the motions of church. They may have played the religious game for years, but they've never truly called out on you and invited you into their heart to be their personal Savior and Lord. And Father, we pray that this would be the hour, this would be the evening, this would be the night. Lord, let them not leave here lost. And Father, we pray that we would take your truth from here as we leave in a little bit. And Lord, we would sow the seed of your truth in the hearts of those we come across with our attitudes and our actions, with our speech. and with our concerted efforts to share the gospel with somebody that's dear to us, somebody that is an acquaintance of ours, someone that may be a friend that needs Christ. Lord, may we be willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus out there in that lost and dying world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Before we get going, do we have any testimonies tonight? Any testimonies? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Uh-oh. What? Amen. That's great. That's great. Any other praises tonight? Praises. Oh, amen. Will you keep an eye on my daughter if you see her? Yeah. Make sure she stays with her group if you see her running around. Amen. Anything? Because she'll be, yes, ma'am. Yeah? Amen. So did he put him on a diet? Oh, that's motivation, amen. That's the motivation to lose. Yeah, amen. Amen. Anything else? Positive testimonies tonight. Words of encouragement. Anything? Yeah, brother. Amen, man. Amen. Boy, we need to be praying for that. Amen. Pray God open a door and give you the right words to say. And pray for a divine appointment. Amen. That's great. Yes, ma'am. All right. Amen. Outstanding. Well, any other praises? Any other praises? I'll finish up the praises. I took both of my cars up to where Bobby Coons works, CRC on 2920, and I was so blessed to have Bobby come out and meet me. And it's one thing to be, you know, introduced as your pastor in church, but it's another thing to have a parishioner introduce you as his pastor in his workplace. Amen. That's a positive sign. That's a sign that everybody knows Bobby's a what? He's a Christian, amen? And secondly, he's not ashamed of his pastor, amen? Yeah, it was a good time. We had a great time. I mean, if you're going to spend that much money, you might as well spend it with friends, amen? All right, amen. Well, let's look at this passage tonight, Genesis chapter 27, verses 18 through 29. And basically what we've got going on here, what we have is a bunch of people believing a huge lie. It's a big lie, okay? A big lie. Jacob is not who? He ain't Esau, is he? Right? And Isaac believes the lie. And Jacob lives the lie and believes the lie. And everybody's believing this heinous, horrendous lie. I mean, it's just unbelievable. When you guys think back, some of you more mature adults here, when you think back to World War II when that was going on, or if you were just a youngster when all that was ending and you was really fresh when you were going through high school, you remember that Adolf Hitler, believed in using the big lie, right? I mean, it was a huge lie that he used about the Jews and about inferior people groups and about his great plan of world domination. It wasn't a little lie. It was a big lie. See, little misrepresentations, little lies, little white lies might arouse suspicion, you know, when you hear those things. But the big lie, the big lies are so incredible that people would assume, well, it just must be true. I mean, who would tell that and it not be true, right? A big lie. right? It was Mark Twain that said fiction was believable and that nonfiction was beyond belief, right? He spoke truth when he said that. When Jacob posed as his elder brother, it was nothing less than an ancient application of the principle of the big lie. Now, I want to share with you a few things about this big lie that's going on here in this passage. Number one, we've already mentioned it, but I'll say it again as a point. Jacob believed the big lie. Now, think about this. Do you think that Jacob intended this lie to become as big as it did? When I think and read through and study this passage and think about where we've been in the passage and here we are coming through this part of it, I don't think he intended this thing to get that out of hand. But friend, once you begin to get involved in the lying part, it's amazing how these things kind of snowball on you, right? And man, here he is. I don't think he intended it, but boy, he's got his mama pushing him, and man, this thing starts to roll and get going. Lies have a tendency to grow bigger and bigger and get out of hand before we know it. The lie certainly grew in this passage. Look at verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. No, you ain't. That's a lie, right? That's a big old lie. Verse 24, look at that one with me. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He's lying again, right? But friend, the lie that ought to make us all shudder this evening. See, we're familiar with this passage, and it doesn't wow us like maybe it did when we were 10 years old or 11 years old or 6 years old. But the lie that ought to shudder us to our core tonight, that ought to make the hair stand up on the back of our neck, is found in verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now that's a lie. Involving God in your deception. Oh man, that is a lie. See, after reading these lies, it's real easy for us to get our expectations really, really wound up about what ought to happen to old Jacob here and Rebekah. I mean, we get all wound up. After reading these lies, our expectations at this point, we expect a bolt of lightning like we had Sunday night, right? Hail from the sky, lightning to the ground, amen? We expect that to fall from heaven on high and with one bright, loud crack, remove this deceiver Jacob from the face of the earth. Man, he's lied about God. He's tried to incorporate God in his deception. What I want you to think about tonight is that oftentimes Christians today can believe and participate in the big lies of all their own. Oh, yeah. Yeah, see. Before we come down too quickly on Jacob, think how Christians today do precisely the same thing that Jacob did here in chapter 27. You say, well, I don't understand, Pastor. What are you talking about? Have you ever heard it before? People talking about how God's moving or whatever, and or their assumption that God's moving, and they say things like this, the Lord led me to divorce my wife, or led me to do this in the church that caused it to split, or led me. No, the Lord didn't lead you to do that, right? Quit trying to bring the Lord in on your deception and your sin. Are you feeling it? See, we frequently say, the Lord led me to, when often it is something we've always wanted to do. It's a fleshly thing, and we're just trying to get the Lord in on it. See, we've always wanted to do it, and we finally worked up the courage, or we finally got sinful and backslid enough to go ahead with it. We want to drag God along for the ride. He won't be dragged along for the ride, I'll tell you. Or the Lord told me to. Or the Lord has blessed us by. Let me tell you something. Be careful by mouthing that so lightly. The Lord has blessed us by. Has He really? That may be a curse from the devil himself, right? Oh, but it seems like such a positive thing. Well, it's taken me out of church. I don't have time to be in the Word of God. All my time for prayer is gone. But boy, it seems like a blessing. That ain't a blessing, friend, right? And we'll throw that out. The Lord has blessed us by. Be careful with those kinds of statements. These kinds of remarks may be evidence of the same kind of thinking that caused Jacob to tell his father God had prospered him by giving him a goat rather than a venison. I mean, he's lying all over the place. With what pious words, we also seek to conceal our sin. Jacob believed the big lie. Christians today can believe the big lie. Thirdly, this evening, Isaac, God love him, certainly believed the big lie. There's something, when you read this passage, if you feel for anybody, you got to feel for Isaac. I mean, taken advantage of, manipulated here. I mean, you just got to feel for Isaac. Now, Isaac's in the wrong, but still, Isaac, still being in the wrong, you've got to feel for the brother. There's something strangely sad about Isaac in this chapter. He seemed destined to fail from the beginning, as would any man attempting to overrule God. Remember that God had already said the birthright belonged to who? Who did it belong to? Belonged to Jacob. Yeah, he's got no business trying to give it to Esau, and Jacob's got no business in trying to trick his dad into giving the birthright that's rightly his. Two wrongs don't make a what? There you go. 25, verse 23, the Word of God reads, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of peoples shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder, that be Esau, shall serve the younger, that be Jacob." There's the birthright right there, already planned out and divvied up. And they're trying to mess with it. Isaac's vulnerability, when we think about Isaac, certainly believe the big lie. Isaac's vulnerability is the result of several forces. Now, if you're of the senior adult variety here tonight, and some of your senses are starting to wane, like your sight or your hearing, I'm not trying to point you out or in any way make spectacle of you tonight. My wife is telling me all the time, you can't hear. You've lost your hearing. The kids will say something, I'll say, huh? I didn't get that. Go talk to your mother. Now, I don't think it's selective hearing. I really think my hearing's starting to slip. But anyway, we're all in the same boat, and we're all heading in that direction. Amen? So if you're struggling in any of your senses, I'm not trying to point you out or make a spectacle of you this evening. But Isaac's vulnerability is a result of several forces. First of all, Isaac is the victim of old age. He's on up there. And his eyes are dim. We read about that in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. 27:1. His eyes are dim so that he cannot distinguish between what is genuine and what is artificial. See? His senses are somewhat dulled by age as well, or so it would seem. And he did not perceive, think about this, he did not perceive the difference between goat and venison, between goat and wild game, between domesticated animal and wild animal. He couldn't differentiate between the two. He could not differentiate between goat skin and that of his son Esau, right? Isaac's judgment seemed to have been impaired by his, first of all, old age, but secondly, his haste. What do you mean by haste? His impatience. He wanted to get this over with. It was obvious that Isaac wanted to get this over with as soon as possible. You know, one of the worst things we can do when we're skating on the edge of God's will, when we're not in the center of God's will, is hurry up and do stuff in our own flesh. You ever get that sense you just need to cool your jets and wait a little bit? Boy, this was a place where Isaac should have done that, right? I mean, think about it. If he wanted the blessing to go to Esau, if he really wanted this to be a big to-deal, he should have done what? He should have waited for both sons to be there. Well, Esau, I'm so glad you're here. Let's get Jacob. Well, that would have been a tough lie to pull off. Well, hey, Dad, this is Jacob. Well, this is Esau over here. I mean, that would have been a tough one, right? But waited for both boys to get there so that the other son would be present for the blessing so that everybody's in understanding and agreement of where the blessing is going and how it's being delivered and all of that stuff. But he didn't do that. Oh, man, he was impatient. He was operating in haste. Good judgment now as then is suspended in the name of urgency. Nothing wrong with saying, hey, let me sleep on that. Let me pray about that. I'll get back with you in a day or two. Amen, church? The fact cannot be overlooked as we think about Isaac certainly believed the big lie. The fact cannot be overlooked that the decision Isaac reached was one based upon all five of his senses. He based this decision on his, are you ready? On his flesh. His sight, his hearing, his sense of touch, his sense of taste, and his sense of smell. The garments which Rebekah had on hand were those of Esau, and they smelled like him. Smelled just like him. Some have politely suggested that the smell was more like cologne. I don't think so. I don't think it was like cologne at all. I think it was like stinky. That's what I think. Dr. J. Vernon McGee agrees with me, or I agree with him, rather. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But like Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I think it was another kind of smell. It was not the smell of Esau's deodorant, but the smell resulting from the lack of such deodorant is what the smell's going on here. Right? That's the smell that gave it all away. The smell of B.O., man. Y'all remember way back in the day? Y'all probably too young to remember. But I've heard stories of church meetings back when the society was more agricultural. You didn't have all this fancy air conditioning. Boy, it smelled nice in the church house then. It gave another definition to fellowship. Amen. Ain't got time to go home and take that second shower of the day. Took that bath yesterday morning, been working in the field. Here we all come back together for prayer and worship. Brother Bill, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It smelled like work in church, didn't it? Amen. Good smell. All right. I want you to think about it here. Even the dulled senses of Isaac could not miss the smell of his son. It all came down. The big lie came down. Imagine it. Isaac, in the final analysis, it comes down to the nose. The nose. The big lie. Down to the nose. When I look at this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse, well, it really gets going in verse 6, doesn't it? Yeah, it gets going even earlier than that with his request for some savory meat up in verse 4, chapter 27, verse 4, all the way here through verse 29. When I think about this whole passage, all this deception going on, all this lying and stealing and cheating and all this stuff going on, I find Isaac's error. Isaac makes the big error here. I feel for him, but he does make the error. I find Isaac's error so parallel to our own day and age. Well, what do you mean? How is that parallel to our own time? Well, think about it. We live in what they call the scientific age. You ever heard that? Oh, man, everything's based on a scientific, based on science, right? It can be measured and observed and duplicated, repeated, all of that stuff. Scientific age, that this is how our age makes decisions, right? It insists upon making decisions solely on the basis of physical evidence. Solely on the basis of physical evidence. If we cannot see it, if we cannot hear it, if we cannot feel it or smell it, then it does not exist. Oh, but that's so wrong, isn't it? That's so wrong. Because God is here tonight. The angels are observing tonight. The person of the Holy Spirit is stirring in the hearts of His people tonight. We may not be able to smell, touch, or feel, or see with physical eyes, but the Word of God says it's so, and on faith, we know it to be. Amen. We cannot see it, hear it, feel it, or smell it, then it does not exist. Let us be reminded tonight as we churn on through Genesis chapter 27 that after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, all men are sinners. What once was perfect is no longer perfect. What once was in perfect fellowship with God has been marred by sin. Every aspect of our being has been tainted by sin. Our intellect, our emotions, our will has been touched by sin. A man whose heart is at enmity with God, or whose saved heart, I'm told that's a lost heart with enmity with God, but a man whose heart, the saved heart is not in God's perfect will, can look at the physical facts, can look at the physical facts and come up with a conclusion that's totally false. Totally false. The problem's not with the facts. The problem is with the man whose head and whose heart lead him astray. We need something else besides just our own intellect, don't we? We need something else besides just our own emotions, don't we? Isaac needed something else. I believe Isaac to be saved. I believe one day you'll see Isaac. You'll get to meet him and talk to him about that time on Mount Moriah when God provided a ram for that sacrifice. I think he's saved. But Isaac gives us a lesson of how not to finish. He's not finishing very well at all. Not at all, church. Isaac needed some divine intervention. Isaac was a little bit backslid. Isaac was depending on himself and his flesh instead of depending on who? Instead of depending on God. Amen. And boy, what a blessed people we are here tonight. Because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has ascended on high and has promised a helper. And in Acts chapter 2, that helper did appear. That helper did come. And that helper birthed the New Testament church. If the church was conceived at the institution of the Lord's Supper, friend, I want to tell you, the birthday was the day of Pentecost. And here we are sitting tonight, thousands of years later, and we have the same gift among us. And in spite of ourselves, if we will sharpen our minds and cleanse our minds with the Word of God, if we will meet with God in prayer, if we will lean upon the Holy Spirit, we'll be apt to make better decisions. We'll be apt to make godly decisions. We'll be apt to be in God's will. Amen, church? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word, this little Bible study, Lord. Thank you that we can continue on through Genesis 27, and your people will continue to hear it. Lord, we're thankful for their willingness to go through a book this long, a book this lengthy. Lord, give us perseverance. Give us patience as we go through together this Word of God. And Lord, we pray that you would help us mine the jewels, mine the gold, mine the spiritual fruit that's in here for the church, that's in here for the individual. We thank you for loving us again. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for a night like tonight. And Lord, we pray that we'd all take a step forward for you and our discipleship and our Christian growth. Be with those that, Lord, couldn't be here tonight. We pray you might draw them back here this coming Sunday morning. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, we got Becky Woods here with a broke ankle getting a cast tomorrow. All right. Yeah, you want to lift her up, James?